Simmons, the steal, laid it in. Well done by Ben Simmons.
Well, we talked about the defense leading the offense 2-5.
Simmons taking on Davis, the show and go by Ben Simmons.
Look, Akeem, perhaps? This part right here, the little whoop, that's definitely got some Elijah Wan to it. Wow.
Oh, and Simmons slamming for two.
Ben doing the hand signals as the seas parting.
Yeah. NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Tuesday, February 26th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action this season while repping Strayer just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. So, big day of NBA to cover. At one point, we had 10 games going all at once and I was losing my mind just a little bit, but there's a lot of good stuff to talk about. So we're going to cover all that with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mates. Spud of the night, pantsing in the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. And of course,
yeah, nah,
the unpopular opinion of the day and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We also award a new sweaty, hairy guy of the week. We look at the odds and pick and preview all the games for tomorrow, and we'll close out with a brand new Jingles HR featuring Joe Ingles taking all your employment questions. Noise. Can't wait. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Australia episode 233. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. You better watch out for the attack of the semi-trailer if you're Karl Anthony Towns. Holy shit. So the big cat. Let's just start today the way we start every show, eh? With the daily whip around. We'll start off with Karl Anthony Towns, man. That's right. He was in a big car accident. Reckons he only had a 5% chance at surviving and a 1% chance of not being seriously injured. That's fucking neat. Way to go, Karl. Way to survive. That's awesome. Avoiding a tragedy. That's awesome. So he said to reporters, the accident could have went, I'd say I had a 5% chance of making it out alive. I hit the 5% mark. I'd say 4% was to be seriously injured and 1% was to be minorly injured. And I came out in the 1%. Jesus. Way to go, man. Seriously, fucking touch wood. Good stuff. He's out there in the Hyundai Santa Fe that had stopped outside of, where were they, Minneapolis or something? Yeah. There was another accident in front of them, and they sort of pulled up, and then a semi-trailer was traveling at about, oh, they reckon 35 to 45 miles an hour, hit them. So Karl was like, thank God I was wearing my seatbelt, could have gone through the window, could have been much worse. In all honesty, I probably should not have made it out like I did. God damn, this is crazy. So that's why he was out the last game with concussion-like symptoms. So they put him in the concussion protocol, and hey, man, just happy Karl Anthony Towns are still with us. Good stuff. Some other news. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's right. Big Kareem is auctioning off his championship rings and MVP trophies for charity, saying when it comes to choosing between storing a championship ring or trophy in a room or providing kids with an opportunity to change their lives, the choice is pretty simple. Sell it all. That's awesome. He is also my favorite actor out of Airplane. Amazing. Good stuff, Kareem. Good job. Bit of news popped up today as well about the Wizards. Ted Leonsis, the owner, he's talking about trading Otto Porter. They'd actually told Otto Porter that they weren't going to trade him, with Ted saying, we actually had some other things that we were going to do, another trade that would have kept the core together and given us flexibility. Ooh, who do you reckon that was about? Well, he didn't say. And then they traded Otto anyway? Sure. Ted Leonsis. Fucking hell. That's a bit of a shit show. And some other news coming out of today with the Lakers losing to the Grizzlies. LeBron James just keeps bitching about his team. And look, the internet was afire with LeBron James defense gifts, videos, everything. It's amazing. So not sure if he's got much of a leg to stand on there at the moment, old Bron, but hey, funny stuff. Some injury news. Boban, my sweet prince. No! Had his leg folded up under him when he was under the basket against the New Orleans Pelicans today. Brett Brown said after the game, "I'm just really concerned about him more than anything. When you see something like that, your heart sinks. He's good people and he's helping us. He really was a significant contributor and piece to our program. We will keep our fingers crossed." So he's hoping Boban is okay, but geez, he could not stand up and could not put weight on it. This is my mate. Hung out with him on the streets of New York City. Come on, Boban. Hope you're all right, mate. We also had a bit of other knee soreness coming out of All-Star. Giannis Antetokounmpo set out the Chicago game today with knee soreness, just like Joel Embiid as well. Makes you really wonder what they were up to in New Orleans, in Charlotte over the All-Star break. Other injury stuff. Draymond came back for Golden State Warriors today, and same with James Harden. I recovered from his neck injury to play for the Rockets against the Hawks. So, let's get into the actual game wraps for today as well. It was a huge day post Oscars. They were like, "Oh, we don't go up against the Oscars with the NBA. Let's let everybody watch the Oscars, man." So we'll have like 11 games on a Monday night. It's wild stuff. All right, so first off the bat, it was Golden State. They played Charlotte in Charlotte. That's right. Steph Curry returned back to the place where he was basically, you know, king of All-Star for a week. And the Warriors win 121-110. Cody Zeller for the Hornets couldn't miss. He went 13 of 14 for a career high, 28 points. That was wild. Not bad for a bloke who looks like he's 47. Kemba, he passed Del Curry with the most field goals made for the Hornets, which is pretty neat. 3,952. Ended up with 23 points on 9 of 24 shooting. Oh, geez, not great. A little else from Charlotte. I mean, 14 points from Frenchie Batum and Nick Batum. Give me your money, and now I am not bad. At, I'm pretty bad at the basketball, huh? Tony Parker also had 2 points on 0-3 shooting and 16 points from Sleepy Eyes, Jeremy Lamb. For the Warriors, I mean, they just pinged the ball around, 35 assists, they smashed it. Boogie had 24 and 11, Clay had 26. The coward, Kevin Durant, had 20 points and 7 rebounds. Steph had a bit of a slow day, but it was fine, basically, in the end. You know, came away with it. They got the win. He had 14 points. Shot shit, but still, what are you going to do? We'll talk about that in a second. Charlotte, they moved to 28 and 32. Not great. Golden State Warriors now 43-17 atop the West. Nice. Portland beat Cleveland in Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. It was in Cleveland. Chetty Osman had 27. Kevin Love in 28 minutes had 18 points and 12 rebounds. Nice. 19 points for Mini JR, Jordan Clarkson. The Sex Man had a shocker. We'll talk about him later. Dally wasn't too bad either. He got out there for a little bit of run. Led the team with 5 assists. For the Blazers, they shot 18 of 29 from 3, which is wild. Holy crap, man, 62%. That's absolutely nuts. Shot 56% overall. CJ McCollum had 35 points on 12 of 18 shooting. He went 7 of 8 from 3. Could not miss. Just like Cody Zeller, but better. Dame had 21 points, 8 assists. He was great. Bosnian Beer, Hillwall, Yusuf Nurkic, 15, 8, and 4. He beasted. And Seth Curry hit all 5 of his threes, proving that he and his brother Steph may have Freaky Fridayed themselves while peeing in a fountain in Charlotte over the All-Star weekend. Cleveland, they are now 14 and 47. Portland, 37 and 23. Noish, hanging out in fourth in the West. Indy went to Detroit, lost to Detroit, 113-109. Pacers, Miles Turner came back. Had 7 points after a weird ankle thing. Bojan Bogdanovic had 25. And Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, 23 points and 7 rebounds off the bench. Oh, yeah, I love the combo meat. Thanks, Domantas. Cheers, mate. Yeah, no tomato. Cheers, mate. Hurt his ankle late, though, which is a bit of a shame for Domantas Sabonis. Hopefully he's okay. Darren Collison had 21 and 5, too. For the Pistons, Blake had a triple-double. Blake Griffin, 20, 10, and 10. Ooh. That's pretty pretty neat. Sure. Got a double tech as well with Bojan after a bit of biff. That's pretty weird that was. Andre Drummond had 26 points, 16 rebounds, 16, not 6 steamed rebounds, 3 blocks as well. 19 from Luke Kennard. Turns out he can actually play basketball sometimes. And Reggie Jackson had 14 and 5. Indy, they are now 40 and 21, still hanging on to the 3 seed in the East, which is wild. Pistons, they win their 7th game in their last 8. They're 29-30. That's just how shit they are as well. They're still under 500, and they've won 7 of their last 8. Phoenix, they snapped their 17-game losing streak as predicted on this here podcast yesterday by beating Miami in Miami 124-121. The Hot Bowl. It's the Suns versus the Heat. I love it. The Solar Bowl. What do you reckon? The Heat, Dion Waiters Island, started hitting threes in the fourth quarter, which is hilarious because he'd missed every shot up until then. Ends up 4 of 12. D-Wade showed off his new cornrows, his braids. Yeah, they're braids, not cornrows. Missed the game winner at the end as well over DeAndre Ayton. He had 13 points on 5 of 14 shooting. Ooh, that's some old man numbers. Wingen Hassan Whiteside had 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 fouls. Classic Wingen Hassan. Kelly Hoosier Olynyk, eh? Oh, yeah, Helbu Korpoks. I had 28 points today and 10 rebounds, man. 4 of 6 from 3. I had a pretty good game. Look at my stupid beard. That's right, Kelly Olynyk. Josh Richo Richardson, 7 points on 2 of 10 shooting. Brutally, he still had 9 assists, though. And Goran the Flog, Dragic is back. He played 23 minutes today, 5 of 12 from the floor, 10 points, 4 assists. The Heat are just discombobulated, though. The Suns, Devin Booker had 20 points, 9 assists. Closed it out with free throws. That was pretty good. We had a Tyler Johnson revenge game. 18 points and 5 assists against his old team. Pretty bloody good. DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick, 14 points and 10 rebounds a day after he retweeted a bunch of stuff about the Suns not evolving him in the offense, which I 100% agree with. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 16, and so did old man Jamal Crawford. Miami, they slipped to 26-33, which is getting perilously close to basically being about the 7th worst team in the NBA, which is wild. The worst team in the NBA is the Phoenix Suns. They're 12-50. That is worse than even the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. They beat Chicago in Chicago, 117-106. It was Lopez on Lopez crime. I love this. Robin Lopez always loves going fucking hard at his brother, twin brother, Brooke. If you combine them, they'd be the greatest center that ever lived, wouldn't they? But Rolo, he was unbelievable. He had 26 points, doubling up his brother at 13. On a 5 of 12 shooting, but man, Rolo crushing it. But for the rest of the Bulls, they made 9 threes for the entire game. They had no Chris Dunn, not Otto. I like to get Blutto Porter. He was out with a lower leg strain, which is code for, yeah, look, we might win this game when they rest Giannis, so how about we don't play 2 of our good guys too? Lowry, that's a girl's name, Mark, and it had 26, 12, 3, and 1. Jesus. Zachy Cakes Levine was shit ass, 11 points on 4 of 13. Fuck all else from everybody for the Bulls. I mean, Timothy Luau Cabarro had 12 points, and he was like their third best player. Fucking nuts. For the Bucks, no George Hill. He had a groin strain from too much fucking. Hit 17 threes, though, did the Bucks. Chris O'Middleton led the way, 22 points. The El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, 22-5. Nico Minutage, hello. Look at the beard. It's very thick, very lustrous, like lustrous men. 13 points. Pat Connaughton had 10 as well. Milwaukee without Giannis, no problems. 46-14 they are. They are the best team in the NBA, record-wise. Damn, son. And look, the Bulls, 16-45. Their win streak comes to an end. Atlanta went to Houston and almost beat Houston. 119-111, the Hawks fall. Trae Young had an absolute blinder, 36 points, a career high, 8 assists as well. He was unreal. 8 of 12 from 3. He was fucking flaming. It's unreal. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail, had 20 points and 12 rebounds. The Bays Gaze was the only other contributor basically for the Hawks, 13 points. But they still nearly beat Houston, and they also stopped James Harden's run of 30-plus point NBA games. That's right, it's all over. He had 28. Shot 7 of 21 in this one, had 4 assists, 6 turnovers. Houston still came away with the win, but Harden decides not to shoot at the end, and so ends the streak at 32 games. That's fucking wild. Chris Paul had 20 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds, 16 off the bench for Eric Gordon. Kenny Faried, the manimal, 13-10, and Clint Capella had 12-8, went 6 of 8 from the field. Atlanta, they're 20-41 now. I mean, sure. And Houston at 35-25. They're 5th in the West. Speaking of the West, the Lakers lost to the Grizzlies, which was fucking hilarious. Memphis win this 110-105 in Memphis. And LeBron is called for a charge when he's like driving down the lane runs straight into Joakim Noah, and that basically sealed the win for Memphis, which was fucking hilarious, considering that LeBron had played zero defense up until this point, and then had the temerity to bitch and moan to the refs, which is pretty great. He's not even really bothering on D now. It was hilarious watching him just like sort of wave and yell at other people and just not do anything. But he still had a triple-double, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, which is crazy. Spindles Ingram had 32 points, 6 rebounds and 4 assists. And Kuzma with 22. The bench for the Lakers had more fouls and points. They shot 3 of 14. Rondo was a minus 10. Josh Hart was a minus 15 in only 6 minutes. Jesus. For the Grizz, Mike Conley, he had 30 points and 5 assists. He was amazing down the stretch. Joakim Noah, on his birthday, 14 and 12, crushed it. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. He had 20 and 13, too. Avery Bradley was 15, 6 and 3, and Chandler Parsons stunk up the joint, going 2 of 10. But the Grizz beating the Lakers when the Lakers were like, whoa, we need to lock in, man. We need to win. When the Grizz traded away Marc Gasol, they're not playing with Jaren Jackson Jr., the best young player, and they still beat the Lakers, is fucking wild. Lakers are now 29 and 31. They're 11th in the West. Memphis are 24 and 38. That is hilarious. The Kings, they lost in Minnesota 112-105. Big Karl Anthony Towns survived that car crash and went out and wrecked Sacramento instead. For the Kings, Marvin Bagley got the start. He went 25 and 11. That was awesome. De'Aaron Fox went 23 points, 5 assists. Shot 8 of 24, though.
Kobe!
18 for Buddy. Steph Curry healed on 16 shots with 5 turnovers. Corey Brewer, though, looked amazing. 12 points. He's just bouncing around the league now. It's like, oh, you need a bouncy wing? Hey, look at me. It's Corey Brewer. Bogdan Bogdanovic, the other Bogdan, had a rough one. 7 points, 3 of 13 shooting. And Harrison Barnes, the veteran winner, 0 of 4 from the field for 2 points. Jesus. King shot 38% in this one. That's how they lost. The Wolves shot 50%, had 22 turnovers, but still, Sacramento couldn't do anything with it. Big Cat had 34 of 21 and 5. We'll talk about him in a second. 20 for D-Rose. Tyus Jones had 16 and 8. Wigo stunk, 3 of 10 for 8 points. And the homie, Dario Saric, only can manage 7 as well. But still, Minnesota get the win at home. Sacramento at 31 and 29. Flip it around. Minnesota, 29 and 31. Philly, they went into New Orleans and just eked out a win after they're absolutely fucking crushing it. 111-110. Pelicans really fucked up at the end. Etuan Moore basically launched a 3 when they're only down 1. And Jimmy Butler got a little bit of a piece of it, and that was it. Game over. It was a weird decision. Etuan Moore. Tonight, he was Etuan less. The Pelicans, Drew Holiday had 22 points, 7 assists, looking good. Julius Randle, 19 points and 14 rebounds. Anthony Davis was out there for this, 21 minutes. He had 18, 6, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Still effective. Still doesn't want to be there. Alfred Payton, 10 points, 14 assists as well. And Etuan Moore, before he missed that last one, was 4 of 12 for 9 points. Jesus. Pelicans. It's a weird situation, isn't it? Where Anthony Davis is kind of half playing, half not. And they're like, do we win games? I don't even know, man. But they're so tough. It's weird. For the Sixers, Tobias Harris had 29 points. Old Toby and his buddy Bobby. Boban had 12 and 10 in 20 minutes, but hurt himself in that fourth quarter when he got tangled up with Cheick Darlow. That sucked. He's hoping Boban is fine. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Took another 3 at the start of this game and missed it, which was a damn shame. When he hits it, the place is going to be fucking incredible. JJ Redick had 16 points, and Jonah Bolden filled it up in this one too. 9, 6, 3, 1, and 2. That's 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Awesome. Jimmy Butler, 5 of 16 shooting for his 11 points and 7 assists. Not great until the very end. Philly, they come away with a win. New Orleans, 27 and 35. Philly, 39 and 22. Now in fourth. Eking out 1.5 games ahead of Boston in 5. Nice. And finally, the last game of the day. The Clippers beat the Mavs 121-112. For the Mavs, Luka Doncic had 28, 10 and 10. That's his fourth triple-double for a teenager. That's fucking wild. Dwight Powell had 24, 8 and 4. Hardaway the lesser had 20 as well. But Dirk Nowitzki in his last game at Staples Center had 12 points. And Doc Rivers grabbed the mic with the game still going, was like, hey, give it up for a fucking legend, would you? Dirk's amazing. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I guess we should because he's pretty bloody good, mate. For the Clips, Montrez. Trez Harrell had 32 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He was awesome. Sixth man of the year? It's between him and D-Rose, I reckon. Sweet Lou Williams had 21 points and 10 assists. Gallo, the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari had 20 points. Sham Wow. Landry Shamet had two big threes and nothing else, which was wild, but it got the Clippers the lead, and they never kind of relinquished it after that. Pat Beverly was a menace. 17 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. If he was a military man, he'd be General Menace, because that's what he is. He's a General Menace. The LA Clippers broadcast team as well fucked up and were giving shit to Robert Track the Trailer, talking about how Dirk was basically traded for him on draft night with Millie Walker, and then giving shit to Robert Track the Trailer, going, oh yeah, where do you reckon he is now? You know, obviously Dirk's still playing in the NBA, and what's his name? Don McLean, the other guy for the Clippers, was like, oh, probably in the Detroit over 40s YMCA league in there. They're all having a laugh. Meanwhile, Robert Track the Trailer died 9 years ago, fucking tragically young, you fucking dickheads. They then apologized much later after a bit of a tweet storm that NBA Australia maybe helped stir up. But anyway, Dallas, 26-33, now on the outside looking into the Western Conference playoffs. They are in 13th spot. Jesus. The Clips are 33-28. And with the Spurs slipping again against the Nets today. Oh, shit. We didn't even talk about that game, did we? Where the fuck was that game? There we go. San Antonio, Brooklyn. Ha! How did we completely skip over one? Brooklyn 101, San Antonio 85. First Brooklyn win over San Antonio since 2014. That's crazy. The Spurs somehow dropped the NYC back-to-back. They lose to the Knicks yesterday and then Brooklyn today. That's brutal. 4 of 24 from 3 they went. That's shithouse. That's the worst score of the season as well for them, 85. That 86, I think it's against the Pelicans, but Jesus. LaMarcus Aldridge had 26-10. DeMar had 23. Rudy Gay had 13, and there was nothing else from San Antonio. Brutal. For the Nets, D'Angelo had 23, 7-8. He went 9 of 19. Sweet baby carrots. And Joe Harris had 15 each as well. Harris getting back up to speed, looking good. The bench had 33 points, and the Nets just wildly outplayed the Spurs in this game. It was crazy. San Antonio have lost 7 of their last 8. They're 1-7 on this rodeo road trip. They're 33-29 now and in 8th in the West. Brooklyn, 32-30, firmly in the 6th spot. And yeah, sitting pretty, I guess. So there you go. Wild times. Clips, 33-28. They're in 7th. Basically just slipping ahead of the Spurs. So, nice one. Good stuff. That was a huge fucking day. Jesus. Took ages to go through. All right, let's do it. NBA Australia approved performance of the night goes to...
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, that's a knife, CJ McCollum. Oh, wait, no. Not CJ. Yes, mate, you scored 35 points, but that's against the Cavs. So that's more like 24 against a real team. So let's give this to big Carl Anthony fucking Towns. Not only does he survive a car crash where he reckons he had a 5% chance of like walking away, 34 points, 21 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. He survives a car crash and then turns the fucking Kings into a wreck. Absolutely wild. It'd be good to see him do that on the reg, not just after getting into big car crashes though. But look, happy that Carl Anthony Towns walked away from a car crash. Good on him. Super fucking lucky, obviously. That's awesome. And to put up a 34-21-5-2 straight after is wild. Good stuff, Cat. Good stuff. All right, what about old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, well, judging from the internet, LeBron James. Look, LeBron, come on, man. You can't be throwing everyone under the bus all the fucking time after you tried to trade everybody, you know? And then, like, to go out there and, like, just put on an absolute defensive shit show. Yeah, you're going to cop it. So he was copping it from all angles. But the best one was we actually posted the picture of this on NBA Australia today. The lady in the background of the Grizzlies post-game show saying LeBron will ruin Space Jam like he ruined the Lakers. Oh my lord, LeBron James just copying it from like random old ladies in Memphis. Oh, that is definite old mate, no mates. But it definitely feels like the worm is turning just that little bit on LeBron, right? So just before LeBron came back, the Lakers were 3-4, 3 wins, 4 losses. And since he came back, they've had 3 wins and 4 losses. I mean, Jesus, LeBron is also out there complaining once more. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but Jesus Christ, mate. if you wanted a great team, you should have signed with one instead of like going and going, all right, fuck it, I'm going to join the Lakers. You can't then talk shit about it, you know? It's wild. But anyway, LeBron will ruin Space Jam like he ruined the Lakers. Everyone's sharing and posting a kajillion different videos and GIFs of his horrible, horrible defense. He basically just like let Joakim Noah walk through the paint at one point and dunk. A couple of other times, he like left a shooter wide open. It was his man. Well, it was kind of Kuzma's man, but Kuzma had clearly switched. LeBron ignored that, and the dude hit a three, no problems. LeBron then yelled at Kuzma, "Mate, you're killing me. Come on, LeBron." Anyway, spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
I mean, oh, how's poor Steph Curry? It's like he can't hit a three in fucking Charlotte after he went into the three-point competition, right? He went 4 of 17 in the All-Star game and then went 4 of 14 from three today in Charlotte against Charlotte. That's just fucking straight up brutal at this point, isn't it? That's some spud-worthy stuff. He was 5 of 18 in total, but 4 of 14 from 3 is absolutely rubbish. Especially for the, you know, the greatest shooter of all time. So look, going, what's that, a combined, Jesus, 8 of 31 from 3? Not great, mate. Spud of the night, definitely Steph. Also, Chandler Parsons, 2 of 10, brutal. Bogdanovich, 3 of 13. Harrison Barnes with his 0 of 4. The sex man, though, Colin Sexton and Brandon Knight for the Cavs. The sex man, 3 of 14. 3 of 8 from 3. Brandon Knight has 1 of 6 from the field. 0 of 3 from 3 in 20 minutes. Jesus. So the two of them combined for 4 of 20 shooting. Maybe, Cavs, you should just start Delhi and stop fucking around. Pantsing of the night, the Lakers losing to Memphis without their best nominal player, Jaren Jackson Jr., apart from maybe Mike Conley. Basically, the Lakers losing to the second worst team in the West was absolutely brutal, and everyone like just going gleefully after the Lakers was fun as hell. So that's definitely a pantsing. That's a hashtag drive-by pantsing where it's like, oh, look over there. I'll dack ya. Now, Joe. All right, speaking of the Lakers, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, that's right. Better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today. Well, not many people are going to be better than Trae Young because he had a career-high 36 points, hit his 8 threes. Hot damn, he was good. Also hit that insane shot versus the Rockets where he's falling on his ass from about 32 feet out. That was unreal. But better than Lonzo Ball. Oh, gee, how about the guy they traded away to make room for Lonzo, huh? D'Angelo! Since the start of the year, he's averaging 25 points, 7.6 assists, shooting 45.3% from the field and 39% from three. 39% from three. Lonzo isn't even shooting that from the fucking free throw line. Unbelievable. Do you reckon Magic could take D'Angelo's leadership now? Just saying. But anyway, other notable rookie better than Lonzo Ball / sophomore efforts. Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen. 26 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists and a steal. He was awesome. And Luka Doncic, as mentioned, 28, 10, and 10 for his 4th triple-double of the year. Easily better than Lonzo Ball, who's not even playing. So, yeah, fish in a barrel at this point. But come on, Trae Young, amazing. He's been incredible. We mentioned yesterday, basically, his first 30 games, he sucked. Next 30 games, he's been good. So, good on you, Trey. Turned it around. All right. There's hope for you. Yeah, Lonzo, just saying. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should we get more Dennis Rodman opinions just in general? Yeah Nah. Yes. I'm 100% on board with the Dennis Rodman opinions as opposed to the Scottie Pippen shitty opinions. Dennis Rodman disagrees with Joel Embiid about who the GOAT is. Joel Embiid did come out the other day and say that Wilt Chamberlain is the greatest of all time because no one else is going to score 100 points in a game. Joel Embiid not entirely convinced that he's watched a shit ton of film from the times that Wilt Chamberlain was playing versus when MJ was. But still, Dennis Rodman came out and said, Joel Embiid, you're doing a great job for your little island or country where you're from. Shut the fuck up. Go do your goddamn job and do Philly proud. That's the one thing they need, a championship. Your little island, or he's from fucking Cameroon. Ah, Dennis Rodman's fucking great. I love it. Better than Scottie Pippen's shitty opinions. Next one up. Are Dwayne Wade's brand new braids a midlife crisis call for help? Yeah, nah. Yeah. For real, man. D-Wade, those braids are for 23, 24-year-olds who are feeling themselves, my man. Not for 36-year-olds. Jesus. And especially when he's never been known for, like, braids or, like, you know, fun, wild hair. And he just whips it out today and everyone's like, Dwayne, are you okay? Mate, do you want to talk about it? Jesus. Is Gab stopped eating that ass? Or, like, what are we talking about here, bro? Jesus. Anyway, next one up and final, yeah, nah, for today. Is LeBron James the worst leader in today's NBA? Oh, jeez. Yeah, nah. Look, kind of, yeah, but at the same time, he gets results, right? Like, the thing is, even in a league that has Kyrie Irving, being the worst leader, LeBron's kind of there, right? Because he's got the weight of a neutron star around him and his ego and his, like, celebrity. And what he says is, like, it's weighty. Kyrie's like a fucking photocopy of that, right? That's like just this pissant little bitching and moaning. When LeBron does his passive-aggressive bullshit, it holds much more weight and consequence. And then today, after the loss of the Grizzlies, he said, if you're still allowing distractions to affect the way you play, this is the wrong franchise to be a part of, and you should just come in and be like, listen, I can't do this. And everybody is now, like, trying to figure out what the fuck LeBron was saying this about. And it was more of a general sort of statement, because Spindles Ingram and Kyle Kuzma basically, you know, combined to shoot the fucking lights out today. So everyone's like, who's he talking about? Like, is he talking about the fact that Tyson Chandler and JaVale McGee have suddenly turned back into old man Tyson Chandler and shitty JaVale McGee? Is it the fact that Rondo was a minus 10 today? Like, Spindles and Kuz had 54 points between them and shot 21 of 33. Josh Hart stunk. He only played 6 minutes. Like, is notorious KCP, like, the problem, apparently, according to LeBron? It's fucking wild. But anyway, is he the worst leader in today's NBA? Look, maybe. Because he just tried to trade everybody. And now he's sitting there going, hey, if you don't want to be here, fuck off. We need a sense of urgency. Meanwhile, he's not playing any fucking defense. LeBron, take a good old fucking look in the mirror, mate, and play some D. Don't wave and yell at your fucking teammates. It's absolutely wild, mate. Absolutely wild. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. DeAndre Ayton is really fucking good, I believe. And I think the Suns still stinking up the fucking joint is more of an indictment of their shitty fucking coach and, like, the way they've crappily put this fucking team together rather than anything DeAndre Ayton is doing. And yeah, they should run more of the fucking offense through him because he's good. Instead, like, Booker's fucking jacking shots. They've got Jamal Crawford, an inveterate fucking gunner, all of his career shooting a bunch. Maybe, just maybe, you should let the number one pick in the draft that you chose, like, grow and be better and have a little bit more fucking, you know, of a role in the offense, you morons. Jesus, absolutely fucking killing me at this point. Like, watching the Suns and, like, their clear lack of a plan is absolutely nuts. There was a great stat about how the Nets over the last seven years, yeah, have had zero lottery picks. And in that time, the Suns have had 9 lottery picks. The Nets, without anything, are firmly in the middle of the playoff race in the East, 32-30. And the Suns are the worst team in the NBA still. Like, maybe this is organizational. What the fuck y'all doing? You need to figure this the fuck out, Suns. You're killing me. I love the Suns. It's a great franchise. Great look. But all the fucking decisions they make, like, from fucking up their stupid, like, they've got great uniforms. How have they looked shit for so fucking long? Ugh. Anyway, free DeAndre Ayton is what I want to say. All right, finally, Outback Takehouse. Come on in to Outback. It's Tuesday, and you know what that means at Outback? 4-for-1 bloomin' onions. Because no one in Australia eats this shit, so we need to flog it off to you Yanks. Only at Outback, and it goes great with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, Jason Tatum has been told that he's going to be traded in the offseason, and is letting the Pelicans know that he's cool, being their number one guy. Because he told The Athletic, I'll play basketball anywhere. I'll play for whoever wants me. That's my job. I know I can't control any of that stuff, so I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Trade talk doesn't bother me. That's right, Jason Tatum knows that he's going to New Orleans this offseason, and he's telling him, I fucking dig that. Only at Outback. Whoa, that's not much of a flame grill take. Just sounds about fucking right, doesn't it? Jesus. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch and Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week, right after this.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Big Simo Ben Simmons today in the win against New Orleans. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Went 7 of 16 from the field. Took another 3 and missed. That's 0 of 2 proper 3s for the year for Big Simo. Had some beautiful moves as well. A couple around the back passes and, you know, behind the back dribbles. Faked Anthony Davis in the next world. It was great. Made him bite so hard, there might be another great Australian bite. It's awesome. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, he filled it up as mentioned in his 18 minutes. He had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. It was awesome. 4 of 9 from the field. Great stuff, Jonah. And with Boban going down as well as Embiid, you can expect a little bit more run, I reckon, for Jonah over the next couple of games. So, nice. No games for the Jazz today. So, Jingles and Dante, Kangaroo, Kobe, Exum. Get a little bit more rest. King Daly of Maribara. Matty Dellavedova in the loss to Portland. He had the team-leading 5 assists to go with his 5 points and 1 rebound. And Denga Dell is still back down in the G League with Kent in charge because the Cavs have basically got a full active roster at the moment, which is weird. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills, had a rough one in the loss to Brooklyn. 3 points, 1 of 7 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. Yeesh. 4 rebounds, 1 steal. And yeah, Patty has been on a... had been like a model of consistency basically for a very, very, very long stretch where he was like 14 points, book it, no problems. Went 2 of 14 yesterday against the Knicks and then 1 of 7 today. So that's both 14.3% from the field. That is brutal. He's 3 of 11 from the 3-point land as well in that time. Hopefully he turns it around. Kung Fu Thon Song. Kung Fu Thon McCur. Big Schlong Thong, happy 22nd birthday, mate. Celebrated with a win over Indy. He had 2 points, 0 of 2 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. Added 3 rebounds as well. Good stuff. Aaron Bangers-Baines is day-to-day after this week, according to the Celtics. And it was a, you know, pretty nice little sort of like reminder of like, oh yeah, shit. We're going to get more Aaron Bangers-Baines in our lives. And turns out in the great Reddit AMA with the ball boy, the ball boy hadn't been really scared of anyone until Aaron Bangers-Baines and Andre Drummond. So it just goes to show you how giant Bangers is and how terrifying a bloke he is. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff didn't get out there today against the Clippers in LA, which is a damn shame for the Mavs. Nice one. So what do we do on Tuesdays? We also do the Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy. Let's do it. And today you couldn't help but notice Cody Zeller. I mean, he's got the weird, typical sweating, balding, hairy guy, you know? Like, the guy's got, like, more hair on his arms and chest than on his head. And it's pretty weird because he does just look like a 47-year-old guy who's, like, playing in the rec league. He looks like, Corey Stoller, the actor, was, like, trying to play, like, a balding, old NBA guy trying to give it his last run, but he's, like, 26. It's fucking wild. Anyway, today Cody Zeller was incredible. Career high 28 points, which is 20 more than Mark Brakey managed in a game. So the Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy this week, Cody Zeller. You absolute bloody star, I guess. It was wild. He was so good that it was just, he just couldn't miss. Like, at all. He was like 12 of 12. Ended up 13 of 14. 28 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. He was fucking awesome. So good job, Cody Zeller. You are a Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week. All right. We'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews after these words.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. All right, we are back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And nothing from Patty on this rodeo road trip, basically, since they've started losing pretty much every fucking game they play. But we do have a tweet from Deli. And all he did was tweet out a pic of him, the sex man Colin Sexton, Larry Nance Jr., and Ante Zizic. Aww, isn't that nice? No Kevin Love, though, for Deli. Where's your love for your mate Kevin there, Deli? All right, let's get stuck into the game previews for tomorrow. Got a quick one, so that'll be nice.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. I'm looking forward to only 3 games tomorrow.
Yeah, but they're pretty fucking good ones, I'll tell you that much. So let's do it. The first one's a shit show because it's Orlando Magic versus the New York Knickerbockers of New York City in New York. And the Knicks are 6.5-point underdogs at home. Which is pretty wild, but kind of makes sense. The Magic should beat the absolute shit out of the Knicks because they're a bit of a rabble. So I will take, I think, the Magic -6.5. But then the other two games tomorrow, we have the Boston Celtics playing the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. The Raps are 4-point favorites at home, which is pretty awesome. And you know what? I think I might take the Celtics +4. I think this is going to be a very, very close game, and I'm going to take the team that is giving me the points. Look, Marc Gasol being added to the Raptors, but they've still got Al Horford to combat him. He's a guy who can step out. They've got enough sort of guards and enough defensive dudes that they can sort of throw at Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry, big booty Kyle Lowry. So I feel like the Celtics might be able to eke this one out. It's going to be interesting to see how Jason Tatum goes if they throw Kawhi on him and if Jaylen Brown can fill it up next to, you know, opposite Pascal Siakam, which should be good. But this should be an absolute ball terror of a game, Celtics at Raptors. Can't wait. And then, give me the Celtics +4. And then finally, we have the OKC Thunder visiting the Denver Nuggets. That's right. It's 2-3 in the West. We have basically, what, 2-5 in the East. But come on, we all think that Boston's better than Indy at the moment. So it's basically 2-4. But 2-3 in the West, Denver. 3 games ahead of the Thunder. This is a huge one. Can't wait. Should be good. So Thunder are 3.5-point underdogs going into Denver. Denver, 3.5-point favorites at home against a Thunder team that just lost to Sacramento but just also beat the Jazz. You know what? I might take the Nuggets at home. I think it just might be a little bit much for the Thunder to go into Denver. After a couple of tough games against the Jazz, double overtime, big game against Sacramento that was a letdown at home, go to Denver, fight the altitude, 3.5-point. Yeah, give me the Nuggets, -3.5. I'll take that. I think the Joker and co. should be out there crushing it against the OKC. Should be a very entertaining game, though. Should be interesting to see the Joker going up against Steven Adams. Paul George taking on the wing dudes there. Rusty being torched by Jamal Murray, etc. Should be great. So anyway, yeah, give me Denver there. So to wrap up picks, we've got Orlando, -6.5. Raps, +4. And the Nuggets, -3.5. Let's book it. Let's bank some money on that. See if we can't make some. See how we go tomorrow. What do you reckon? All right, you know what? That is it for today. We are back tomorrow. As mentioned, we're back daily, so fuck yeah. All the usual ridiculousness. Well, the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot, Shoot a Shoot, Light Him Up Award probably. Or maybe that'll move to Thursday because there's a huge slate this Thursday. Anyway, in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Story on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. There's videos, pictures going up all the time, especially during the games and stuff. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever you do, however you listen to us through your Android phone or whatever. Just chuck us a 5-star review. Just helps out heaps. And give us a follow on Spotify as well, would you? That's really cool. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but their new band, House Hats, have announced their new album. It's out March 29. They're doing an album launch at the Old Bar. I believe it's April 19 or something like that. Either way, I'll be there. Can't wait. Absolutely love House Hats, so go check that out. April 12 at the Old Bar. If you want to know where I'll be on April 12, that's it. Nice. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes that you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, and everything. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it for today, man. What a fun Tuesday that was. So much NBA. Stick around for a brand new Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying...
Lederhosen.
Oh, g'day, you jingler jokers. It's Joe Ingles here with Jingles HR. That's right, my own HR firm, yep. That's right, I just don't look like a HR manager. I got my degree, started up my own company, and now I am one. So when I'm not sinking threes and owning all the real estate in Paul George's noggin, I'm sorting out all your HR problems. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? Okay, this one comes from Anthony in New Orleans. Dear Joe, I find myself in something of a quandary. I've told work that I want to leave and move to a different branch, but they're not letting me. I was just like, hey guys, I don't want to work here anymore. Can I move to the LA office? And they wouldn't even take phone calls to help me organize it. So I'm still stuck here. Oh, that sounds a bit rough, mate. Anyway, since then, I've tried everything to get them to move me. Taking my problems public and letting everyone who wanted to hire me know that I wouldn't go where they wanted me to work. Only LA, basically. I've tried not showing up to work. I've pretended to be sick. I've left work early and ignored my bosses. But weirdly, after all this, they still want me to fulfill the terms of my multi-million dollar contract that I signed with them. What is up with that? Anyway, Joe, do you have any tips for me to get out of this jam? Thanks. Anthony, New Orleans. Oh, wowee, Anthony. I'll tell you what. You definitely found yourself in a bit of a pickle, didn't you? So, first off, as a HR manager, I'd say that you should maybe just suck it up and be a big boy. You're being paid to work. So, therefore, as a HR manager, I'd suggest going to work and doing your job. But, of course, if you're dissatisfied with the organization you work for and would like to move, you can go to HR. And there's probably better ways to go about it than you have. Like, and look, I'm just throwing this one out there. Maybe don't make everything public and just ask quietly behind the scenes about a potential move to the different branch and help the organization help you help yourself. That's what HR's for, mate. We're here to help. The thing is, respect goes both ways when it comes to work. A good employer listens to his employees and their requests and does the best they can to fulfill them. And an employee should at least adhere to the terms of a contract they sign, but also operate with both their and their organization's best interests in mind, I guess. And if you don't do that, well, this is the result, I guess, you know. So, look, as we say in HR, don't kick us in the balls and we won't kick you in the balls. Easy. So, I'd say approach everything a little bit quieter next time and work with everyone to get the best result. It's a two-way street, mate. Okay, so I hope that helps. And remember, we're here helping you make the most of your human resources. And that's it for this week. This has been Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. And we'll be back next week on NBA Australia. Get a dog up, yeah.